Okay, chevra, good vach, everybody. Good vach. I want to thank always the Shriers for opening up their bias to Eliza, to the whole mishpacha. I deeply appreciate it. It should be a big schus for your whole mishpacha, only for simcha and for bracha, mirz Hashem. Be'ezaz Hashem, I deeply hope and I daven that tonight should be the final shira that we ever have in Chutz La'aretz. I have this chus to be going there till tomorrow, and hopefully won't come back. So you all meet me there, mirz Hashem. So next week we'll have shira in Eretz Yisrael, mirz Hashem. I mean, I hope to have a shira in Eretz Yisrael next week anyways, so whoever ends up there, which hopefully will be all of us, and hopefully we'll figure out the makom for the women's shira in Eretz Yisrael from this point on. Be'ezaz Hashem is barach. All right, good. Baruch Hashem. Okay. Should we announce the address, Jennifer? No? Okay. Should I ask your grandmother? Baruch Hashem. Be'ezaz Hashem is Baruch. Be'ezaz Hashem is Baruch. You know, we live in a world, this day and age, full of tremendous liberalism. One of the areas where we find this, sadly, is we live in a world. And again, obviously we're stereotyping, but there's so many individuals in the world that we live in, specifically the country we live in, which has a lot of good to it, and a tremendous amount of chesed in it. At the same time, there's a big push to try to have equality between men and women. But equality between men and women in an extremely unhealthy way. You know, in this day and age, I think they just came down with a law that when you give birth, you don't have to write male or female anymore. You just write X. You just write X. The child will decide if that child wants to be a female or a male. So why should you determine for the child? That's the world that we live in. Like, that's MS. I mean, it's not MS. Sheker should be Sheker. I'm saying that, but that's truthfully what's going on in the world that we live in. And it's extremely scary to us. It's extremely scary because if you think about the depth of what that is, it's a tremendous disgrace and lack of respect for men and for women. It's a lack of realization and recognition of the beauty of what it is to be a man and what it is to be a woman. Because we here understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created each and every one of us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave each and every one of us kochos, gave each and every one of us abilities. And they're different abilities. And it's beautiful being different. And it doesn't mean a man or a woman either is better or worse. It's just, but we are different. And that's what's so beautiful about a marriage. What's beautiful about a marriage, which we all strive for, a beautiful marriage full of simcha and full of bracha, is where I have a man and a woman coming together and complementing each other and creating a oneness that was not there prior. Because we are different. And we can add to each other. We can give to each other. We are equally special. We are equally special, but very different in our strength, very different in our focuses. It's mamish to say this whole world, this world of liberalism and trying to say that we could define and decide whether we're a man, whether we're a woman, and our children will decide that and have ichveshnish, you know, bathrooms that are one, and this that's one. This whole world is bizyonish to the Rabbeinu Shalom, if you stop and think about it for a moment. It's a terrible chil Hashem and a disgrace to Hashem. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decided to bring a child into the world, a beautiful child into the world, and decided this child should be Bez Hashem, Nashim Tzidkaniyos, and this child should be a tzaddik, a ben, a son, and decided that there are different kochas and different ways that these individuals have to live in this world and bring tikkun to themselves into the world. And we're saying, no, Rabbanu Shalom, you're wrong. Really, if you stop thinking, you're wrong. You're wrong. I shouldn't be a man. I shouldn't be a woman. It's mamish spitting in the face of the Rabbanu Shalom. The tremendous disgrace to the Rabbanu Shalom. It's sickening. It's so sad. Why am I saying this? Why are we starting with this tonight? We're starting with this tonight because we as Bnei Yisrael, it's so important that we appreciate. We appreciate the difference, what it is to be a man and what it is to be a woman. And appreciate our roles and our places and what our tafkid achayim is, what our purpose is, and where I should be focusing. Because sadly, it's creeped into our world as well, where you have men and women trying to focus on areas that shouldn't be necessarily their focus. Where you find, these women prayer groups and having to lean from a Torah and have whatever it might be, which is because I have to be the same. We are the same in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam, but we're different in our approach. We're equally different and equally special, and we have to believe that and know that. And that's something very, very important. Because when you try to be someone you're not, it's impossible to fulfill one's purpose. It's impossible to fulfill one's purpose and to be whole. And therefore, it's impossible to be besimcha. It's impossible to be truly happy because you're trying to be someone that you're not. And we have to appreciate who we are and do the best with that. And that's something very, very important for each and every one of us to realize. But really, I'm saying this because we happen to be, these days, in the middle of the days of Shoivavim. I'm sure everyone in this room has heard that term, has heard Shoivavim. But I think most women think that Shoivavim is for men. Shoivavim is for men. Shoivavim, by the way, is just an acronym of the Rashi Tevos of these Parshios. Shemos, Ve'era, Bo, Bishalach, Yisro, Mishpatim. Spell out the Rosh Tevos, those letters, is Shoivavim. That's these weeks. Shemos, Ve'era, Bo, Bishalach, Yisro, Mishpatim. These 6 weeks that we're in the middle of. We're right now in the middle of those weeks. So that's these days. And you've all, I'm sure, heard, as these are supposed to be days, and we'll get to it, why perhaps, but these are days where there's a big focus on tshuva, and a big focus specifically on Shemir Seinayim, and a big focus on areas that are more important, and it's true, much more so for men. Much more so for men, because there are areas that men struggle in, there are areas that women struggle in, and we're different. So a woman would say, I heard of Shoivim, but it's for men. It's a day. These are very important days for men. And it's important to realize the truth is certain aspects of Shoivim are for men much more so than women. Are definitely a focus for men much more so from women. But what I want to learn about tonight is what Shoivim could be to each and every one of you. Because I don't believe it's meant strictly for men. And I think the concepts and the foundation of what the days are all about, if we understand why they're such important, special days of growth, you can understand how these days are for men and women alike, with different approaches to them. But let's start from somewhere else. You know, this morning in shul, I don't know how many of you made it to shul, we're not going to ask, we don't ask for hands raised here. It was a cold morning, it was a cold day. So, in Parshas Bo, we read the very first mitzvah that was given to Bnei Israel. The very first mitzvah. HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem Rosh Chodeshim. The mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. That was the very first mitzvah given to Bnei Israel. And by the way, there's no question that if this was the very first mitzvah given to Bnei Israel, in fact, if you open up a Chumash, the very, very first Rashi in all of Chumash asks, first words of Rashi. There's no more important commentary in all of Chumash than Rashi. You can't go anywhere until you first learn through Rashi. So the first words of Rashi, Amar Yitzchak, Lo Yetzarech Lahaskil Torah Elam Echodesh Elochem. This is where the Torah should have begun. Because if we stop and we think of the Torah primarily as a book of our laws, of a way to serve God, so it should start with the first law given to Bnei Israel, which is Achodesh Ezelechem, Rosh Chodesh. So Rashi explains why not, and why we start with all of Sefer Bereishis until this point. I always thought, and I always felt, I'm sure I've shared this before, that the concept is to understand Derech Eretz Kadmol Torah. You read through the stories of the Shvatim, of the Avos, the Imos, and you learn what it is to be not just a Jew, but what it is to be a good person, a caring person, an empathetic person, how Emes is so important. You read through all the stories, it's building a character, it's building character traits, it's building our Midos. Because more important than before we even start with the first mitzvah that's Bein Adam L'Makom, we have to make sure we have a strong Bein Adam L'Chavero. Derech Eretz Kadmol Torah, primarily, before anything else. And that's what all of Sefer Bereishis is about, I believe. But there's no question, if HaChodesh HaChem is the very first mitzvah in the Torah, it has to be primary to who we are. It has to be fundamental to who we are. It has to be that Rosh Chodesh teaches me something very deep about myself and what it is to be a Jew. Now it's very interesting, before we even explain that, the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar explains that Rosh Chodesh is a very special day in Yontif, specifically for women. Again, more so than men. There are areas, as we said, that are more important for men. There are areas that are more important for women. The Rebbeinu Shem loves us equally, but understands our kochos and understands what we need. And Rosh Chodesh is a yanta for women. I don't know how many of you do, but you just try to celebrate Rosh Chodesh a little bit more than maybe we do as men. To have a nice suit on Rosh Chodesh, to dress nicely on Rosh Chodesh, to tap into Rosh Chodesh. It's supposed to be a yanta for women. The Pirkei Derev Lazer says women are not supposed to work on Rosh Chodesh. L'halacha, we do. That's not minog ha-makom necessarily, but you should still do something special for Rosh Chodesh. Because it's a special yanta for women. And why is it a special yanta for women? Why do the women deserve a special yanta of Rosh Chodesh? What's the reason? Anyone know? Beautiful. So Sarit tells us that, what? That they didn't give over their jewelry and they didn't partake in the Chet HaEgel the way the men did. And the schar for that is they have the mitzvah, they have the yantav every month of Rosh Chodesh. And we have to ask ourselves, what's the midah keneged midah? What's one have to do with the other? Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is midah keneged midah. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is exact. So what is that? We didn't give, you didn't give, you, the women, the Nashim Tzidkaniyos didn't give your jewelry over. Didn't want to partake in Chet Egel. How does that connect to, therefore, oh, enjoy Rosh Chodesh once a month. Have a nice meal on Rosh Chodesh. Have a nice suit on Rosh Chodesh. What's the connection? So I always thought as follows. I always thought, what was Chet Egel most explain? Remember, this is the generation that standing at our Sinai already went through the Tahara of 49 days of Sfiras HaOmer to reach a level of Kedusha that they're ra'i to receive the Torah. They were the Dardea. We don't understand who these human beings were. They were Kodesh Kedashim, holy, holy Jews. How could they bring a Chet HaEgel? So many explain that they felt deeply that they needed a medium between them and Hashem. They wanted to serve Hashem. But who did they always have until this point? They always had a Moshe Rabbeinu. That if they were going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they had a Moshe Rabbeinu to help them connect to the Eibishter. They thought, because of their miscalculation, that Moshe Rabbeinu was not coming back. He was supposed to come out 40 days. They thought it was up, right? They thought he's gone. Finished. The Mamish got scared. We don't have this medium anymore. We don't have anything in between us and God. How are we going to connect to Hashem? And they wrongly built the Egel as a medium. They thought they would use that as they needed a concrete physical something in the world to help them relate and connect to Hashem, who we don't see. Now they were wrong, but we could understand it a little bit more. It wasn't that, God forbid, they were going to serve as itself, thinking this golden calf is actually a god. But they were going to use that golden calf as through that to connect to Hashem as a medium. Nashim Tzidkaniyos, women, and listen, to learn something about yourself. I believe this very, very deeply. Women naturally, and this is what happened there by Chet HaEgel, they understood that they don't need a medium to connect to Hashem. They understood that each and every one of us has the ability to connect to Hashem without any medium. I have the schus every day if I want to talk to Hashem. With no one else in between. I don't have to go to some rabbi, to a bracha, to daven for me. Not that that's a bad thing. I don't mean that that's a bad thing. And there are definitely those who have a closer relationship in ways because they're holier. We understand that. I'm not going to get into all that. But I know, as a nasha, as one of the nashim tzidkaniyos, that I could cry and talk to Hashem and He's listening to me and talking to me. And women innately understand that and believe that. And believe that I'm one with Hashem, I'm close to Hashem, I have a kesher, I have a relationship with Hashem, He's my tati in Himmel, He's my father. I don't need a medium. So the women understood they don't need that egel. I could talk to Hashem, I could connect to Hashem. I do mitzvahs for Hashem, I do things for Hashem, He does for me. They understand that. That was why they didn't partake in the egel. What is Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh is a beautiful mitzvah. Once a month, we make Rosh Chodesh. How do we know if it's Rosh Chodesh? We have to see the new moon, right? You know what's incredible? Now we have a set calendar, but you know what was once upon a time? Any member of Klal Yisrael creates Rosh Chodesh. Anyone, if you learn Mishnayos Rosh Hashanah, I don't know if you have, but if any member of Klal Yisrael, two people come and they saw a new moon, they go to Beis Din, all of Klal Yisrael Rosh Chodesh. Anyone could do it. Anyone could create it. I could create this whole entire yontif. Me, myself, I have such koiches. I don't need any medium, nothing in between. I'm mamish doing it. It's amazing ability. B'shvili nivra olam. Look what I could do. Women innately understand that. So they were given, therefore, midah k'neged midah, because they understood they don't need the medium of Egel. They're giving the mitzvah Rosh Chodesh, which represents that concept of that closeness to Hashem, of what we can do on our own in this world and relate to Hashem in a beautiful way. I have a Talmud years ago. Some of you might be familiar with him. He speaks now a little bit and writes many articles. David Bashevkin. David Bashevkin. So he was one of my earliest Talmidim. It was a very special chevra. Him and his chevra.
That's my uncle.
Your uncle. Okay, beautiful. There we go. So David was at my house when he was a senior in DRS. When he was a senior DRS, I wasn't yet even a Rebbe in DRS, MS was. When he was a senior, he was a graduate in class of 2002. It's already going to be 17 years ago. He was the second class of DRS. But him and his chevra, I was very close to. I spent my first summer married. In the summer of 2000, I was on NCS Vakola with my wife. I was a Rebbe and a Sgan Mashgiach, and him and his whole chevra were on NCS Vakola. We were very close with all of them. And so we made a whole Shabbos. He had a friend, and I was living in Queens at the time. He had a friend at the time, Levi Okin, who was a younger brother of a close friend of mine. A lot of them stayed by him. Some of the guys stayed by me. I think David slept by me. I don't know. Okay, whatever it was. Some of the guys slept by me. Some of the guys slept there. We did Friday night El Shabbos by my house. We did Shabbos through the lunch by Levi's house. It was a very beautiful, incredible Shabbos. I still remember it, Mama. I still could go through the whole Shabbos. And this is, again, 60s, but it made such an impression. So David said over the following Dvar Torah at the table Friday night. And you hear a good Torah, Mamish leaves an impression. This is from a senior in high school. So David said as follows. He said, he was reading at the time from Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking, the famous scientist, genius of an individual, we know is a paralegic. It's incredible how he's able to even connect to the world and do all that he does. So he was reading, and he came out with this whole theory at the time and proved, which probably none of us would understand, but David understood as a senior somehow, that he proved that the universe has an infinite amount of space. The sky is infinite. It's never ending. There are infinite amount of stars in the sky. There are an infinite amount of stars in the sky. So he said he understood for the first time what pshat, must have been Parshas Lech Lecha at the time where we see it by Avraham Avinu perhaps. He says, what's pshat that we're all compared to the stars? Right? Everyone simply says we're compared just like as numerous as stars. We're not as numerous as the stars. We're a very small nation of 12, 13 million individuals. Compared to the Christians, compared to the Muslims who are billions of people, a billion Christians, a billion Muslims, we're nothing. What pshat we're compared to the stars? He says, you know what pshat we're compared to the stars? If there's an infinite amount of stars in the sky, he said, every single star is by definition the center of the universe. Every star is the center of the universe. Because if you have an infinite amount of space on both sides of you, because the whole sky is infinite, so every star is the center of the universe. He says, that's what it means you're compared to a star. You are the center of the universe. B'shvili nivra olam. That's a beautiful pshat. But that's what it is. And women understand that much more than men. We think we need more mediums. We need an egel. Women didn't partake. Each and every one of you understands innately, I can have this beautiful relationship with Hashem. And by the way, that's one of the reasons I always felt why women don't have as many mitzvos, quote unquote, as men. Well, mitzvah says, man, gram, and Hashem are pater from, right? All pater. Why? You don't need the mediums as much. You have it already. What are all the mitzvahs there for? What is every mitzvah there for? What does every mitzvah I do? You could go through, but every mitzvah is to connect us to Hashem, to help us feel close to Hashem. You know, you open up a Shulchan Aruch, and this is probably not a mitzvah per se, it's more of an Eitz Tova. But you open up a Shulchan Aruch, and tells me how to put on my shoes in the morning. Tells me how to put on my shoes in the morning, right? I put on my right shoe, then I put on my left shoe, then I tie my left shoe, then I tie my right shoe. Okay, most of you probably don't wear tie shoes often, but so then you don't have to go through the second step. But you're supposed to put on your right shoe before your left shoe. You know, stop and think for a moment. You think the Eibishter really cares how I put on my shoes in the morning? Did God really care? I personally don't believe. Okay, you can say that I'm crumb, don't come back to shear. I don't think God cares how I put on my shoes in the morning. I don't think he's watching me. Okay, he's watching me every second. But really, and if I put on my left shoe first, we'll be, oh, forget it, I'm going to have a bad day now. I mean, what's going to be? What's going to be, really? Hashem, really? Is that really for Hashem that I put on my right shoe first and then my left? You know what I believe? Hashem wants me to be a part of his life. He wants me that I should be connected to Hashem every single moment. So he gave me a way that in everything I could do, I could think about the Rabbanu Shalom. So now, even when I put on my shoes in the morning, I'm thinking about the Eivishter. Wow. That's awesome. That's incredible. We as men need that a lot more than you need that. We need a lot more mediums, quote unquote, to remember that. That's why men, obviously you all have this chus to learn in seminary and to grow tremendously. It's not that women don't gain from that medium at times as well. Obviously you have mitzvahs as well and you have your ways, but you don't need it as much. And you understand that connection you have without it. That's why men so much more so need yeshiva. You need that surroundings. You need the mediums. You need the rabbeim constantly by your side. You need the svarim by your side. You need the mediums much more so than a woman. It's true. You have women who go and they go to Eretz Yisrael for a year and grow tremendously. And mom should be the firmest of people for of life. If a guy went to Eretz Yisrael one year, maybe there's an exception once in a while, but most guys, they go for 1 year to Eretz Yisrael and come back and don't go to yeshiva, go straight to college or somewhere and not yeshiva. Chances are 98% of those guys are mamish, are hardly going to be from, trust me. Or definitely not going to be much more than they were before they went to yeshiva. Because you need that deep connection to keep you strong for a while till you build yourself into that person that has that relationship with Hashem away from the world of yeshivas. But women, not... Okay, we all... I'm not saying there aren't women who fall also. Of course there are. But you have a different strength and innate connection to Hashem that it's not needed as much, quote unquote. It's not that we don't gain from it, it's just not needed as much. So some of you are thinking, Shkoyach Rabbi, that's beautiful. And I hear it intellectually, and I've felt it at times, but I don't feel it always. I think I need more mediums. I think I need more. Maybe I'd gain from being in a quote-unquote yeshiva or seminary still at this point in my life. And again, I don't be mistaken. I think there's a lot to be gained from all of you having connections and being part of. Like, we come together, that's why we have this shir, which is so precious to me. And very special to me that this shir has become, and now pretty much a weekly shir. To me, it's something very, very special, because I'll tell you, I'll be open for a minute. Like, for a few years, Baruch Hashem had the schus to teach in SKA and taught beautiful classes, these machshava classes, the schus to have Sarit back in the day. They're very, very special. And a few years, so I had these classes that were very special. They were mamish like seminary classes already in high school. There were no tests, there was no homework. It was all girls that were taking them voluntarily. They were like electives. It was very, very beautiful. And then based on just time and more achrayas and diras and achrayas just in life and different things, I couldn't stay. I had to give it up. And it hurt me a lot because I have this chus, Baruch Hashem, to build very special ksharim with men and young men and give over Torah and chizik and soros and trying to do whatever I can. And I felt like half the world, I'm leaving now. Like, I don't know what I could give, but I was at least could try. It really was a very hard decision, very, very hard decision. And then I give women shirim whenever I can, but nothing bekvius, and I always wanted to. And then this Baruch Hashem now has turned back into something where I feel that, for me, it's something special, because I feel like it's important. I want to be able to give to women just as much as I want to be able to give to men. To have something bekvius, it's very, very special to me. And that's why it's special even tonight. I didn't think we for sure would have shir. I wanted to make sure there were enough girls around. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. It's something I think very, very special. So definitely, I don't mean there isn't what to be gained by these mediums, and we need the chizik every once in a while, but innately, as women, you have a deeper relationship with Hashem, and you believe it. And it's something, it's nashim tikkunis, it's very, very special. It's an emotional awareness and closeness. And that's why you didn't simba chet egel, and that's why you have mitzvah Rosh Chodesh. And you understand that relationship that Dov Bashefkin taught me about years ago. You understand it. So, but some of you are thinking, Rebbe, but I don't. I don't feel it enough. I fall on this. I need the mediums more. So why is it? Why don't we feel what innately we're supposed to feel? What's going on? So you said we're going to discuss tonight a little bit about Shaivivim and understand the place of Shaivivim for women. I didn't want to scare anybody off. I discussed it with Aliza. Sometimes I said the other week, we discussed the titles of this year. Originally, I thought about putting Shaivivim for women. I didn't want to scare anyone off and think we're going to talk of things people are not interested in and want to hear. I don't know. So Aliza said we're not going to put that on the title. She knows better than I. I have to know how a woman thinks a little bit, you know. I mean, I've been living with one for a while, but it's not the same as being one. L'maisa, let's understand Shaivivim. So first of all, Shaivivim, just to understand why these days are so chashiv, such big days of growth, is because if you look at these parashios, we read the parashios, Shemos Ve'erabo, which are the parashios of Galus Mitzrayim, being in servitude of Mitzrayim. And then eventually, we're already starting in Bo and Vishalach, and the culmination, Yisro, with Kabbalah Satorah, is the Geula. Kriyas Yamsev and leaving Mitzrayim to a state of ultimate Geula and reception of the Torah. So these six parashas take us from the lowest of places with the 49th level of Tumah, Mamshe Nun Sharabina, and Kabbalah Satorah. You know, these parashas, living through these parashas, is supposed to be a chizik to each and every one of us, to take ourselves when we're struggling from the lowest of places to a high place in closeness to Hashem. So these days have been set aside by tzaddikim from Arizal and other big tzaddikim as big days of growth. Now, there's no question that Svarim talk about, and I'm not going to get into it at all, for men is very important days of in Shmir Sanayim and other inyanim that are specifically for men. But what are these days then for women? Definitely they're the same big days of growth. And definitely they're the same big days of tshuva that the parashios have an effect on. But where should the focus be then for women? Because as men, is these areas that don't really apply to women, and then the big focus spoken about is Talmud Torah. And you know I all believe that Torah should be an integral part to a woman as much as they can, but that's not your avodah. That's not your big focus necessarily. So where should it be? So there's no question there's something to do with the einayim, with the eyes, which have its place for men, but what does that mean for women? So we see in Parsha Shlach, you all know these words, you say them every single day, at least twice a day, many of us many more times a day. At the very end of Shema, which is found all the way at the end of Shlach, the Pasuk says, V'los asuru achri levav v'achri neichem. And last time I checked, there's no difference between men and women in this Pasuk. You all say Shema every day. And we say, V'los asuru achri levav v'achri neichem. We shouldn't go and follow after our heart and after our eyes. And what does Rashi tell us this is talking about? Halev v'heinayim, the eyes and the heart. Himraglim laguf, they're spies for the body. Misarsurim lo esaveros, that really are like the agent and broker with us to do averos. Why? As he quotes the Medrash Tanchuma, very famous words, Ha'ayin roe, the eyes see. V'halev chomed, and after the eyes see, the heart desires. And the body follows suit and does the averus. We have to understand that what we see has a tremendous effect on who we are. What we see is who we are. And what we see determines, has an effect on our machshavos, on our thoughts. And eventually on our maisim and our actions. Ha'ayin roa, the eye sees, and that's the impetus for halev chomed, for the heart to think and desire, and ultimately aguf oises averos. But it all starts from ha'ayin roa, what we look at. Now this is not going to be on any level, any halachic shir for any of you, and there's no question that there's much more permissibility in halacha for women to see certain things more so than men. That's not what I'm talking about here, those in Yanim. But we have to understand what we allow ourselves to look at. Even if you want to say, mi'ikar adin, a letter of the law is halachically appropriate, we have to start thinking more, how is it going to affect me? What influence is it going to have on me? When we allow ourselves to watch certain movies and TV, and we allow ourselves, then in this day and age, it's a whole nother meaning. For generations, it was people who were put themselves in a category of a quote, I'm not chas v'shalom looking down on anyone who doesn't. I just want you to understand something, and I'm not looking down on any parents who are not doing such things, but I just want you to hear this. For generations, it was very understandable, and it was understood, like someone, the very quick go-to question, like when you're dealing with Yiduchim, and you wanted to know if people were holding in a certain place in your Shemayim and from Kite, you know, is the person going to have a TV in their house? That was like a big question. Right, we understand. Do they care? Will they have a TV in their house? Because if you're willing to have a TV in your house, you're opening up your house to see the whole outside world and the imagery of the outside world. And it means you're holding in a different place. Again, I'm not paskin, I'm not talking halacha, but it means you're holding in a certain place different than someone who doesn't want a TV in their house. And if a guy would be looking for a young woman who wouldn't want a TV in their house, or a young woman would look at a guy who wouldn't want a TV in their house. Okay, some would. I'm not looking down. I'm not saying that. I just want you to hear it, right? That would be like the go-to question. But what's incredible now is plenty of families and young men and young women getting married would never, chas v'shalom, pasnisht, I'd never have a TV in a house. But all the internet in the world, with all the Netflix in the world, and all the everything else in the world, meaning, think about it for a moment, what you're allowing into your house, what you're allowing us to see. Everything that you don't really want is there. Because the internet, for some reason, is more acceptable than having a TV. Does it make any sense? Stop and think about it. But ultimately, we have to understand why. And I'm not talking halachically. But understand if we're going to watch things, it's going to have an effect on how we think about the world. Or it's going to have it desensitizes us to think certain things are permissible and are okay. Some of them are going to want, even if as a young woman, it might be more mutter than a man to watch a particular show. Halachically. I'm not talking halach at all, but if it's more mutter. So I allow myself to watch a show, and in that show, there are certain things that are going on. And in that show, this person's involved with this person, and the chvesin is cheating on this person, and doing this, whatever I'm watching, I'm allowing myself to watch these things that go on. You don't think that has some, it desensitizes me to where I should be thinking about, what I should be holding. Forget an area of pritzus. What about an area with chashiv, the world that I allow myself to watch. I allow myself to watch things that put such an emphasis on gashmias, on materialism, on the luxuries of the world. And whether it's not even a show, I just, whatever chvesnish is on Instagram, or on whatever the site, social media site might be. You have quote unquote, you have from women who their whole job is to blog about gashmias. And I'm watching this, this dress is nice, and that dress is nice, and I'm just watching it just for fun. But you don't think you're going to want it more if you watch that for fun? Now again, I'm not tining. You should all look beautiful and wear dresses that you think are beautiful. And I don't have a problem with going to nice stores and buying nice things. I don't think you have to walk around. I don't think you're a nashim tikkunius, you're a bas melech. You should walk around like a princess. I think that's important. Because you're from doesn't mean you have to walk around looking like a schlub. You know? That's not what it means, b'chlal. You should walk around looking beautiful and how you feel beautiful. And dress nicely in whatever dresses you think are beautiful. But not because you happen to see it on this thing and you thought, oh, now it's chashiv for me. Because, okay, you go into the store and you think it's beautiful for you. Beautiful, wear it, get it, great. We cover Shabbos, we cover Yontiv, we cover the Chasana. You get a pair of nice shoes, beautiful. Not because they're telling you this shoe is beautiful because it has red on the bottom. That's not why it should be beautiful to you. Because you saw that and that's what the stars are telling you is important. Hashem Yirachem. But we have to understand that our eyes and what we allow our eyes to watch, and again, I'm not talking on a halachic level, but we allow our eyes to watch, what we allow ourselves to be involved, it has an effect on who I am. It has an effect on who I am. It has an effect on how I think. And it has an effect on who I'm going to be. And you know, it is true. You have it naturally. You might have it naturally, but by watching these other things in life, It distorts that which we have naturally and brings us to a lower place. Think about it when we're in Eretz Yisrael and you were in seminary, or some maybe visit Eretz Yisrael, just visit Eretz Yisrael, have visited Eretz Yisrael, and you're visiting people that are in Eretz Yisrael, that are living in certain communities, living a certain lifestyle, and you see the simcha, and you see what it is, and when you think on a different way, and you think what you want and who you want to be, because that's what you're seeing, and you see it, and you remember it. Your eyes, what you allow yourself to see, has a tremendous effect on who you are. It's something very, very, very real. We have to understand this. We have to believe it. And there's nothing more important than our thoughts, because that's going to lead to our actions. And our thoughts are very hard to control. You know, there's a pasuk, beginning of Tzav. They're talking about the carbon oila. Carbon oila, the sacrifice of the oila, was a carbon that was completely burnt to Hashem. Right? So you had to spend a lot of money, buy this carbon, and you completely burnt it to Hashem. You didn't get to eat any of it. So there the pasuk says, Tzav is Aaron v'es banav leimar zos Torah ha'olah. Command Aaron and his children, this is the Torah, this is the laws of the Ola. So Rashi there says, when he uses the word Tzav in such a strong language, ain't Tzav el lashon zariz. It's a very zealous, it's like you got to give a strong commandment. Miyadu ladoros, for all generations. Why? Because Tzarech HaKazul Zarez B'makom She'esh Bo Chesron Kis. We need extra inspiration, extra zealousness when you're going to... Chesron Kis means literally you're going to lose money. Meaning what? Since it's going to be so expensive, this mitzvah, you need extra chizik to do it properly. If you're going to bring a carbon that you're going to sit down and have a nice filet mignon afterwards from the carbon, okay, I'll spend the money, I'm going to enjoy it. But I'm going to go and spend a lot of money on a carbon that I don't even see a drop of it. I need a lot more chizik, right? So we need chizik when there's chesron kiss. So most understand that means chesron kiss. It's you're going to lose kiss here. Kiss means a pocket, means, but it's referring to the money. You're losing money. Comes the Hilgi Yira Kadosh. The Hilgi Yira Kadosh says, you know what else chesron kiss means? Kiss also can mean a cover. A kiss is a cover. He says we need a lot of chizik when we're chesron kiss, when something's lacking a cover. Because when you have a cover, you can use the cover to cover it up. Meaning what? He said our ears, the Gemara tells us, are created with a cover. We can take our ear lobes and cover our ears if we want to. Or even our fingers and cover our ears and we don't hear things we're not supposed to be hearing. We're not listening to things we're not supposed to be listening. It comes with a built-in cover. Our eyes have our eyelids, a built-in cover. Our mind, our machshavos, have no cover. We can't cover our mind. You know, that's why there's millions and millions and millions of dollars in the world of therapy these days. Because our mind goes so crazy and we don't know how to cover our mind, how to deal with that. Our machshavos have no cover. There's no physical cover to stop thinking. So we need a lot of chizik in how we think. We need a lot of chizik in how we think and to think properly. That's what the Yira Kodesh says. So what's the answer? The answer is very simple. We just read it. Where do our thoughts come from? Ha'ayin roa v'alev chomed. Our thoughts, which we can't cover. Once they get to the mind, it's very, very difficult. But our thoughts are determined by our eyes. That does have a cover. That I can control. If I let myself and I worked on watching and looking at only things that are appropriate, and not just appropriate halachically, best for me as a bas Torah, as an isha tenua, and I'm watching only that which I would want to live my life like, it will have a tremendous effect on my thoughts. That's what I believe shayvim should be for women. It's also what we look at, but a different type of what we look at. Understanding that what we look at defines who we are and what we think about. Because naturally, you're all Kaddish. Naturally, each and every one of you is Kaddish Kaddashim. You have it much more than I have it. You have it. The problem is that when I allow myself to look at things that we shouldn't be, that distorts my thoughts. And doesn't allow me to be the person I am. Doesn't allow me to taste the Kedusha that's so Kaddish naturally. Which you should be tasting naturally. I always like to explain it based on... We definitely said this over once before, but it's worth repeating. the following mashal to understand deeply what we do when we look at things. Not only do we think in a place in the way that we shouldn't be thinking, we can't even appreciate all that's Kedusha in the world anymore. Our mind doesn't want that which is Kedusha in the same way because of what I'm looking at. Because of what I'm looking at that makes me think that's chashuv, that's important. It's like Lahavdil to understand the following mashal. You know, you take orange juice. Orange juice. Delicious. As long as it's Tropicana. As long as Tropicana is delicious, right? I don't know why any other company makes orange juice because no one else does it anything like our Tropicana. Some only Tropicana does it well. Makes absolutely no sense because they all say they're 100% squeezed oranges, right? So it should all taste the same, right? But only Tropicana tastes like Tropicana. Well, nice, you have Tropicana orange juice. It's delicious. What happens? You have Tropicana orange juice. Late at night, you get thirsty. Minutes after, you just brushed your teeth. You ever try it? Don't try it if you haven't. It's disgusting. It's mamish disgusting. Your mamish tastes disgusting. It's terrible. If you had it half hour ago before you brush your teeth, delicious. You have it right after you brush your teeth, disgusting. Now let me ask you, we all know. Is there anything inherently bad with that Tropicana orange juice? Absolutely not. The Tropicana orange juice is golden. Golden, best orange juice in the market. Nothing like it. The best. Inherently, it's awesome. But what did you do? You coated your mouth with toothpaste, and now that orange juice, which inherently is awesome, but it's going down through that toothpaste coating, so you no longer could appreciate its delicious taste. So too, when it comes to our lives, if we allow ourselves to watch all different types of things that are steeped in morality and ethics that are so connected what we believe in. So again, I know halachically it's mutter, quote unquote, but we're watching shows and watching things and people talk about that is against everything we want for ourselves and for our families, for our children one day. But I'm just allowing myself, that's what I'm taking in, that's what I'm watching. So now, my thoughts are completely coated in that. So I can't appreciate Kedusha anymore. As we say, the Hilgas Solomon Rebbe says, in Tehillim, we say, Anayim Lahem, when your eyes are, Anayim Lahem Velo Yeru, and you won't see. What does it mean? Anayim Lahem, when my eyes are to them, when my eyes are to the other world, a world of immorality, a world, the secular world that we live in, that's what I allow my eyes to see. Velo Yeru, I won't see any Kedusha anymore. I can't. So we have to be machsher ourselves. We have to, during these days of Shoivim, we have to kasher ourselves so that I could appreciate all that naturally I would. In Pirkei Avos, Parak Vav Mishnah Aleph, the Mishnah tells us, Umichsharto liasadik. Umichsharto. What is this lashon? Umichsharto liasadik. You should kasher yourself. Kasher. You should kasher yourself to be a tzaddik. To be a tzaddikas. He says like this: Ki Adam kishiroitzel is davik by Kadosh Baruch Hu. When a person wants to cling to Hashem, which you all would naturally, sarach mitchila lasor meara asher nispagel begula yitzara. You first have to get rid of the bad that you've contaminated yourself with the yitzara by looking at whatever it might be. And he gives, I'm not going to read it inside, but he explains. He says, imagine as follows: you have a delicious kosher piece of meat, but you go and you cook it in a treif pot. You cook it in a pot that minutes ago was used to cook a piece of chaz or a piece of pig. Who knows, chesnish, right? So what happens to that meat, that delicious kosher meat? It's treif, it's not kosher anymore. But what could you do? You have to, if you took that pot and first kashered the pot and got rid of all the blios, that which is swallowed up inside it, and then you cook, then you'd appreciate it and be able to look delicious. He says, we have to first, before we're going to appreciate all the Kedusha, we have to kasher ourselves. We have to get rid of that which we absorb within ourselves. Hello, Kedivri Yoshin, Hashem calls Torah an Eish. Torah is a fire. We kasher things through fire. So we have to be involved more with Torah. But we have to first sor mera. We have to first stop looking at things that we know ultimately will create a mindset in my life that is not who I want to be. Because it really does deeply affect us. And this is what we could work on during Shoivim as a young woman. Maybe deleting some of our apps. Maybe getting rid of internet for a week or two. Again, not because of the Yisurim like a man. I'm talking differently. But because I understand that that's not who I want to be, and it affects me. I am what I see. Everybody on their own level has to think about this and take your. We're right now pump in the middle of Shavuot. We have 3 more weeks. Grab onto these days and take them for a few weeks to be mekasher myself in what I look at and how I allow myself to think. You know how kaddish our eyes are? Because I'll teach us basically on brachos, the neshama is most connected to the eyes. That's where our kedusha comes from. That's why it is. Have you ever think about it? A drop of dirt falls on the chvesnes on your arm over here. You don't even feel it. A drop of dirt, a speck of dirt, goes in your eye. Your mom is just killing you. It's destroying you. You got to wash it out. Your mom is. You feel like your whole entire life's coming to an end. One drop of dirt in your eye. It's like it's over. Mom is complaining like nobody's business, right? Go washing out your eye like crazy. It's like the smallest speck of nothing. Because our eyes are connected to neshama, can't bear even the drop of physicality, materialism. So by our eyes, it mamish has a tremendous physical effect. The rest of our body, we can handle it. So we have to take care of our eyes. And understand that's who we're going to be, what we look at. That's how we're going to think. We have to understand what effect it's having on us. You know, there are those who say, I don't paskin like this, and I don't tell women they should do this. But I just want you to know it's out there. That when a woman is pregnant, there are those deists, those opinions, that say you shouldn't go when you're pregnant to a zoo. Shouldn't go. It's such an idea. I don't know if you ever heard of such a thing before. It's brought down the Sfarim. I've seen it myself. Not to go to a zoo, because your baby is being formed, the neshama is being formed. It's so sensitive. You don't want to look at wild animals and wild things that will have an effect on your baby. Now again, I never told that to my wife. I never told that to anyone. People have asked me, Shaila, I said, there are many, many others who say it's fine. It's obviously, but the concept behind it is understanding that what we look at can affect our insides. It has a real effect, and we have to believe it. We have to understand it. Something very, very real. And I always remember one of my rabbeim, very close rabbi, an incredible Talmid Chacham, Baal Yerushalayim. So much of who I am is because of him. When he was younger, he was a big smoker. And when he was younger as a big smoker, the world didn't really understand the terrible, tremendous health risks of smoking. Everybody did. They didn't know what it did for you. So he was a smoker. Back in those days, everybody was smoking. I mean, in the yeshivas, everybody used to smoke in yeshiva as you were learning. But they didn't understand that it was hurting you and killing you. And then he got sick. He got sick eventually, and he went, and he had to go. He was brought to the hospital, and they did an x-ray. And the doctor came and showed him an x-ray of his chest. And his entire chest was black. Like, mamish, his whole chest was black from the smoke and the years of smoke inhalation. Mamish, and the doctor basically told him, you're taking years off your life, enough. He never smoked a cigarette again. That was all he needed to see. He was an addict for years, not knowing what he was doing. But once he saw the effect that it had inside him, over. That he's never smoking again. Shmartim is nafshei seichem. We have mitzvah to watch over our health. He never smoked again. It's hard to see. But we have to believe and understand what we're doing to our pneumias, we're doing inside us when we allow ourselves to watch and be involved in things that are against what the Torah really wants from us and who we want to be. And I'm not talking mutter, asr, and I'm not looking down on people, but I want you to understand. That's where it's going to come from if you don't feel yourself in that level of kedusha that you know you should be. Because I'm distorting my taste buds. I'm destroying my ability to feel kedusha. My na'im lahem, my eyes are to them, that world. And it's not just I'm looking, saying, no, I'm going to watch a show just as enjoyment, just for pleasure, just to chill. And that's not who I am. I know it's just a show. It affects us. It desensitizes us. Again, I'm not some kanoi. I'm not saying don't watch anything ever, and don't, like, you have to be, but you have to know how much and what, and be cognizant of all this before I just let loose and anything I want, whenever I want, and all day on my phone, whatever it might be. Each and every one of us has to understand ha'ayin roya v'alev chaymed. What our eye sees, that's what our heart thinks about, and then ultimately the guf is going to do. You guys are all nashim tzidkanios. Your mamish have that special relationship with Hashem. It's there. Your neshama is there. And you've all felt it at times also. You all know this. You've had the glimpses. So make sure we don't distort it in any way. Know that it will shine if you just allow it to shine. And don't cover it over. And during these days of Shoivim, let's take Shoivim seriously. I'm not telling you like that you have to fast during Shoivim like some do, and that you have to be involved in. But here's the Eitzah. Just think about what I'm allowing myself to do and to look at, to see, and take Gedarim in that. And whatever, everybody on their own level, whatever that means, whether it's in the amount of time, whether in certain things that I know are completely wrong for me, I have to get rid of those shows or that app or whatever it might be. That's going to be my Shoivim. And we'll see through that, we're going to start feeling the Kedusha that the days of Shoivim are supposed to bring. And Amir Tashem, if we are, then if these days are days patterned after the Parshios that took us from Golas to Geula, they will also give us our individual Geula and the ultimate Geula with Mashiach Tzidkenu, Bimhera B'Yameinu, Bez Hashem Yisbarach.